Hello fam, and welcome to another episode of the Barman's Barbecue, where we slay sacred cows, roast them, and serve them as they're hot. What up, ladies and gentlemen?
How you doing?
Is that friends? That's friends. Are you
I'm
doing?
Trying to.
Joey.
Yeah, Joey. Hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
You have the story that is sponsored this.
Sponsored by a conversation where I had to try to explain what I believe, what my theology is right now, subject to further repentance.
And now, just to, I think last week or 2 weeks ago, we talked about what deconstruction is. And in fact, I'd like to just recap that deconstruction to me is repentance. Okay. And it's something that we should always be open to. Like, I don't know if I mentioned it before, but I like the rich young ruler, the story of the rich young ruler, as the story of, let's say, repentance or deconstruction, or why we may not want to. Because the rich young ruler met Jesus and asked him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "You know the law. You know what you have already believed." He said that, "I have known this from my youth." Then Jesus said, "Go and sell all you have and give to the poor." And the guy was sorrowful, and he left. And Jesus loved him and, you know, wept about it. Then Jesus said that it's easier for a rich man, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. Then the disciples said, like, "Omo, who will come make him now?" They say, "With man it's not possible, but with God all things are possible." So I feel like when we are rich in our ideas, we are confident in our theology, how far our doctrine has brought us, it's difficult to follow Jesus when we are confident in the written word. So many times when we are stuck in the written word, when the living word comes staring us face to face and demanding that we follow him, we'll be like, "No, you are from the, you are Beelzebub.
I bind
and cast you." So many times we can be stuck in the written word and we miss the living word.
Yeah, the moment you've had the airplane, what's your theology?
Yeah, so so my theology for now, it's the living word, as which is Jesus Christ, as Jesus Christ being the Word of God, and what he embodies in his life, death, burial, and resurrection, as the way, or as a definition of what it means to be a human being, right? And his life and death is a revelation of what love is. Yeah, so love is not just in words, but it's in action, in practice.
The salvation of all mankind.
What?
No,
and in love, like, to the death of Jesus as a demonstration of love, it's a demonstration of God and it's a demonstration of us. So keeping my eyes on Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is keeping my eyes on what it means to be divine and what it means to be human. What it means to be divine and what it means to be human. So I so that's basically my theology, that love is what it means to be God and what it means to be man. And Jesus embodies all that in the way he lived, the way he died, and how he rose from the dead. And sin is when we do not align to such lifestyle, when we are driven by our self-preservation and how to be better than our neighbors, not realizing we already are it. So that's basically my theology. It's just love, but what it plays out like in theological terms is death, burial, and resurrection, the death of Jesus, and our call to lay down our lives for our neighbors. Yeah, I feel like it will also help politically too. But it will only work if everybody is on board with that idea. Because of one other person can be very comfortable for other people to go and die, while he just stays and enjoys all the good from other people's lives.
I think even asking the question what is theology is a bit big and broad, because now we've talked about one side and then we talked about sin, and then you can also talk about maybe
what's the definition of theology? Sorry.
What do you believe about?
No, theology, theo is a God. Logy is wisdom or logic. What is your logic about God? What's your
The other day I asked, was it you I asked about? He said, "Oh, my theology is that God is love."
Yeah.
And I was like, 5,000 people can say God is love and mean 5,000 things.
Yeah.
Someone's God is love means that is the burning fire that will burn all these bad people.
Yeah.
Someone else means that God is love means that I will be wealthy and have plenty of money.
Yeah.
Understand? So I think one thing that came to mind as we were talking about yours is how this verse is that God wants that all men will be saved and come to repentance.
Yeah.
And I think that's one important part of what I currently believe, subject for that repentance, is that God's love will win everybody. Like, God's love will save everybody and bring everybody to repentance. Not because it's going to go against people's will, but because it's like, how would I say it? I believe in the convincing power of God's love. You understand? So it's like how people will say, everybody likes money. Like, if you see money like this, you would want. You understand? So like, if you truly see clearly God's love, then you would have no other option to choose that.
Yeah.
And part of this theology, which is why I say it's very, very, because you have to like touch on other things, is because I also believe that all men come from God, like the beginning and the end, and that there's this seed of God in everybody that makes you want to seek God back, and then you begin to seek it in other things, you know.
We all have the image of God.
Yes, yes. And then what is lost once belonged, you know, because if you never belonged, then how would you be lost?
Yeah.
And so it's you
drop
now
that down.
Take things away. So it's you now trying to, like, you have it, like, you've tasted that soup before, you know, like, like you're seeking and seeking is really for that back. So the moment you eventually see it, you would definitely be won over, because that was what you always wanted in the first place.
You can't be lost if you did not already belong.
Exactly.
I feel like that's so powerful and true, that we all belong, we all are included. You will not meet anybody who is not in Christ, right? So I think at the core of my current belief, you know, and do you know that so the doctrine of original sin, right, I recently learned that it is not an Eastern idea, it's a very Western idea. So the idea that, you know, Adam sinned, you know, before there was an original fall. Before there was the fall, there was this original grace that God created everything and so that it was good. So we all pronounced good before the fall. You know, so the adoption, he predestined us to adoption. And it's not just the believers, it's everybody. Yeah, I feel
The whole of man.
The whole of mankind, believer, non-believer, Christian, Jew, Hebrew, we are all included. I feel like that's so liberating, it's so powerful, it's such good news.
Bella.
What?
What are your thoughts about... Where are you now?
So sometimes I feel relieved that I shouldn't be on this podcast. Sorry. Because my thoughts. So anyway, I used to feel bad that you and Rem used to like listen to all these the Bible for Normal People, Bible podcast, and you guys have gone through everything. And
just Rem.
I'm all but you read.
Yeah.
I'm all very everywhere. And so yesterday I was listening to We Do Hard Things, and Elizabeth Gilbert was talking about how she grew up in a certain faith, and then she grew up and she had to, her own faith now is that her understanding of God, how we grow up in with God in a certain, how we make God in our images of our understanding or something like that. And I realized, oh shit. So I was doing Gnostic dualism of theology, where I felt that some things were more spiritual than the others. So I felt bad that some people were any more spiritual things than other people were, than me. And I was very, very, very broad. And I realized, oh shit, I was doing Gnostic dualism of learning, or secularity of learning, or whatever. And that some things are not more spiritual than the others. And I feel like that's basically my theology, that I don't feel like I'm repenting, or the construction is the phase or a stage. I feel like my theology is growth, and I'll keep updating my knowledge. And like I'm repenting, I'm always in a state of, oh, is this what God is like? Okay. So it's like a state of double thing. Oh my God, my mind is so muddy. So this, Kinney said, theology is the study of nature of God and religious belief. Then this other one says, theology is being thinking about God in practice, it usually means studying the sources of Christian belief, kiniko. So I feel like, so my theology of God is not just very Christian. It started from a Christian background, but then, am I making sense?
Yeah.
So it's bigger and broader.
Reminds me of how, was it Paul that was talking, and I said, as our poets have said, like he was quoting the poets of that time.
Yeah.
What was the quote again?
In him we live and move. Yeah, and we are all offsprings of God, and in him we live and move and have our being.
And then if you go to church today and open a prayer and say you're quoting the film to give your teaching for today.
So like, so explain how sacred text for her is like Walt Whitman's poem. And I understood, because sometimes I listen to some Walt Whitman's poem and it feels like, oh, scriptures, like, yeah, making sense.
Like word coming.
Yes, like Rulers were explaining how Psalm and Proverbs, that we don't see that somebody lamenting too about, it's somebody just honestly pouring out their heart. We like to see that it's sacred text and God is, but we don't see that it's someone going through shit and actually honestly pouring out their heart and
so
stuff.
So the next time someone calls you and rants about what is going on and the breakfast they've eaten,
they should write a poem about it.
Yeah, I feel like it's back to the idea of there is no separation.
Yeah.
You know, that there is
God
no...
is actually omnipresent. He's in every poem, he's in every song.
Yeah. But like, so the word of God is that's so many times when I'm in a church gathering and talk about Jesus and they don't talk about how grand Jesus is. Like for me, I'm just like, oh my God, like what are you doing? I want to, in my childish zeal, I want to go and take the mic and say that that Jesus, like, so like there is nothing that
there is no reflecting,
that everything in him we live and move and have our being. Without him was not anything made that was made. Everything.
What's that question we asked earlier? Where is the omnipresent God not found?
Yeah.
Who does the omniscient God not know?
Yeah.
Except that you does not exist.
Yeah. Say that again.
Where is the omnipresent God not found? Who does the omniscient God not know? And then I was going to add this one now, that is omnipresent in both all tangible things and all intangible things.
Yeah.
Like now, a poem is not exactly tangible, right?
Yeah.
But you can say that, okay, God can be seen in this poem.
Yeah.
It's like how some spiritual teachers say, oh, that even just in nature, and then they feel this heavy presence of God.
Yeah.
And say, I pray the worship and now God will.
So God is actually, so who Jesus is to me, like, is like we, and again, in our Christian songs, hymns, we say that he's everything. Is everything to me, but I mean, he's my secular song. You know, every single thing. And so like I've really appreciated them, like Baxter Kruger, and like, so in the book The Great Dance, that's what the idea, that there is no separation. So whether I'm listening to Bema or I'm playing FIFA or I am watching a kid drama, right, it's all me enjoying the presence of God. It doesn't have to be thus saith the Lord and thou this that. It's nothing. It's not only when you're King James that you now feel you are.
Yeah.
So even in the passion in football,
yeah,
and you're like, okay, this energy that this person seems to be so passionate about this thing is actually from their creator. Like it's a is it a reminder or like a picture that shows you that, okay, yes, this person is from this.
Or like, you know, like the comfort I was even getting after Liverpool lost the Champions League yesterday.
What comfort?
The comfort, like, so I mean, to think of, you know, like Jesus always Jesus was always winning. Yeah, I mean, you think of like you think like the Lord always having his way to win. And so, but
Jesus was always winning.
I mean, like imagine like everything he asks his father, he gets. You know, turn water to wine.
Everything he asks his father, he got.
Yeah, turn water to wine. Pray for
anyone who gets that, it comes not personal.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. That's what I'm saying. So even at having like that winning streak of like, Lazarus, come forth.
But the cup passed the while you approach her. Sorry.
Yes, exactly. No, exactly. Now, so when he him losing, like me, so I'm drawing strength from the comfort that Jesus dying on the cross and all the shame, the mockery. He was at the house yesterday with all the laughter, the tambourine, the cheering.
It was a revival.
So people who
the people
who were celebrating Real Madrid's victory, they were Man U fans. So Man U fans, like, give it to me. they were all the, so the point is that so I'm just like the comfort of that, you know, so this feeling that again I can draw strength from, again the Psalms, like my God, my Lord, my God, why has thou forsaken me, that seeming. But then I was like, no, I did not actually, yes, Liverpool lost, we lost, I felt bad, but again that I still kind of like that hope and that joy or that thanksgiving in the midst of again I just drew strength from Jesus' death, right, in the midst of our loss. So just like Jesus lost his life, or the father lost his son, or the father died in Jesus, yeah, I mean, it's not the end of life. That strength that I just drew, I mean, may I call it an identification? Like, perhaps Jesus could feel the, like, or rather, football is light. Losing a football game is light compared to somebody losing a loved one.
Don't worry, you guys are revenge on the day.
Yeah, no, it's not like, yeah, it's like,
yeah. It's fine, Bella, please.
So basically, so yes, and how I can listen to different teachers. I think I understand the Bible more when I listen to other teachers who are not necessarily teaching from the Bible, which is weird. So I can listen to Eckhart Tolle and understand something from the Bible. I can listen to a Buddhist teacher and be like, oh, this is what the Bible was saying. It makes better sense now. Oh my God. Because like growing up in a Christian background, meditation, you know, you know, enter like that. You just see them saying one scripture over and over and over for what to happen, really. So it's for your spirit to soak in it. My spirit is not going to soak in shit because I'm going to be thinking about all that things after some time because I'll be bored. But that's not what meditation was in the end. I had to understand meditation from other people who understood meditation better. It's like when you used to say sometimes you need to go and meet other people to understand, who are better at that stuff to understand.
So that's what I'm saying. Basically, in another sense, this whole discussion about the theology has also led us to say, what is not your theology? Like, what can you not begin to see the image of God from? So sometimes I think about how this verse says, to the pure all things are pure.
Yeah.
And then my brother would say something like, black implies white. Mm-hmm. So you would see something and someone else would like judge and say this thing is dirty or evil. And someone else would say that this is like an opportunity for light to come in. Mm-hmm. Understand?
Because I remember one time I was in a teaching and they were like, oh, how, you know that place that says be still, I know that I'm God, because sometimes I like being still. So they're like, no, it's not that kind of stillness. Nothing happens. To be still is to be constantly having the tongues on your lips. And I'm like, okay.
What?
But that's just chaotic for me. So now I meditate, but it's not like the way I was taught meditating in growing up in Christian households, which was, anyway. And now meditation is better and more exciting because I'm meditating the way Eastern people actually meditate. Do you get?
Yeah.
So it's like, the broadness makes the
I think
the general practice makes the specialization more interesting. I don't know if that makes sense.
I think once we realize that again, everything is there's nothing outside of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So whether they don't say the name of Jesus or not, changes nothing.
Mm-hmm.
The existence, or just like Peter's revelation that there's a sheet from heaven saying kill and eat. I said I've never taken anything
unclean.
Said I don't call what I've made clean.
Mm-hmm.
Unclean. So what has the Lord made clean? And what are the things we are declaring unclean? So I'm not trying to say that, you know. So for me, I'm now free to, like, I can listen to anybody and draw virtue and Christ from every.
So basically, my theology is that love is everything, and that other people are as deserving of love as I'm deserving of love, even when I hate it. Which I remember Timothy saying that is the thing he finds most irritating about God, is that even the people that you think do not deserve the love also get to deserve the love, which is really, really annoying, but it's what it is.
Yeah, we are all beneficiaries of God's grace and mercy.
Mm. And even if you decide to go through your spirituality on the surface or be very deep with it, and according to that girl that says you're taking the simple things of God too, it doesn't matter. It's always okay. Whatever you want to do, however you want to do your faith, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's God works at our own pace. Yeah.
I think what I don't like is people that don't actually explore it. They're just, okay, I was born in this, this is what I just do, and I just do it.
And that's fine. That's
It's fine, but I'm like, you're like a robot going through it.
Where is the issue is when you now start like, oh, you're this, you're that. Like, okay, I did not disturb you where you are at. Why are you now coming to come and say that, oh?
No, I mean, I feel like even understanding for your level, or even if you just want to be surface, but just don't.
No, Bella, those systems are holding people.
I mean, don't be just my pastor say. So that when the pastor falls off, you're, everything about you doesn't crack. You get, I kind of like knowing it for yourself, so that when there's a crack, everything just doesn't fall off. Like, oh my god, and there's nothing for me again, and so I'm dead. I fuck everybody. Sorry, excuse me, pardon my French, but
if we were to like say bullet points, what do you believe? What would you say?
I just said
everything is love. Let's recapitulate now. Let's.
Everything is love. Everybody is deserving of love the way I'm deserve. I think I deserve love. Everybody's as okay. It's one of my mantras. Everybody's God, as loved as I
God
am.
God will
love.
Save everybody.
Oh, God has saved everybody.
Okay, everybody would experience God's salvation.
Yeah, everybody's experiencing God's salvation. How be it differently?
Yeah,
God's, and at their own pace.
And God's love is irresistible.
Yeah,
and everybody sees God from the level of their own understanding.
Yeah, like poem says that God speaks everybody's language.
Mm.
So any language you are speaking, God.
Has, and each of us builds God in our own.
What was that verse about that inexcusable man or something?
I think it's Romans 1.
Okay.
Yeah,
later parts.
Mm. Yeah. So basically, God is good and you can trust Him. Mm. Or her. Or them. What are God's pronouns?
What is not God's pronouns?
I am. It. Yeah, so God is good all the time and all the time. God is good.
So obviously, I feel like also these things will not imply. Would like they will go on to imply certain other things.
Yeah, I mean,
understand. So, for example, it would also imply that a lot of things that are based on fear are not in our theology.
Yeah, I feel like I think what our theology is basically is a tool of interpretation,
mm-hmm.
like a lens with which we see the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's not as if it's not that I don't believe in hell. I believe in hell, but hell not as punishment, but hell as living a life that is out of tune
mm-hmm.
with love.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't believe in hell as a reality of your being.
I think hell can be your current experience,
mm.
right? Which is not the truth.
The truth of your being.
Your being, yeah. So the Bible says that he that believes not is condemned already.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you are already damned. You are already in the experience of hell. Mm-hmm. That's why he came to seek and to save that
come
which
think
was.
Of it. Someone said something about you not knowing that you are already in hell because you are so far away from the experience of the kingdom of God that is love, joy, and peace.
Yeah.
And so you cannot see that where you are is so shitty.
Yeah, yeah.
So you think that you're okay, but you're not okay.
Yeah, you're not okay. Yeah.
Based on what?
How do I, like, based on what? I don't understand your
question. How is the person in a shitty place?
Yeah, so mentally, someone is saying, like, you know, you can imagine you are so in love with. I mean, you're so used to your abuser.
And we're not even saying like, oh, maybe non-Christians. We're just saying that if you are so far away from the experience of love, joy, and peace, you may think that it's just okay and normal to be where you are. Do you understand?
You can be suffering and smiling, and suffering and loving it.
Okay.
Because you don't know what not suffering is
so
like.
So, for example, personally for you, do you think that your life has gotten much more fuller and experience with your, for example, understanding and freedom from guilt and all the righteousness and I'm not doing this enough.
Yes, yes.
So as your experience not moved like from hell 0 to at least heaven 0.5. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh yes.
And then if you continue to explore that even more and embody your guiltlessness and all that, your righteousness, won't you feel like you're moving to like deeper depths of heaven?
Okay.
You understand?
I guess
and then when you now look back to where you were before, relative to where you will be and where you are now.
Mm-hmm.
Gets
and sometimes you wonder how it is to raise children with this kind of knowledge to be more free,
but
more experienced.
I think it's crazy that no matter how hard we may try, they might still create hell for themselves or the society and even us too subconsciously.
God did not take away that choice from us.
Yeah, exactly.
So
no matter how
they'll have a better start.
Yeah, so no matter how we, yeah, of course, like
again, the irresistible, ever convincing love of God that also resides in them.
Yeah, we will always be there.
We'll always be.
Yeah, and we as again parents ought to also create such an environment.
Yes, you have it. Yeah. I remember Jacob
and
saying
have
that.
Have faith in that. That yeah. seems to
that no matter what happens, you allow our children know that you can always come back home. My arms will be open.
But again, many times it's even our fear that you know drives so many parents every of their decisions and intentions. So they thought they were given the circumstance.
The road to helping.
They exactly. So you might have the best of intentions for your kids, And you will be offended that, do you know what I passed through to be in this way. Place?
So like what we were talking about yesterday, that you want to do good things and stop and remove all the bad people from this world. And then you'll be doing even more evil by trying to remove all the bad.
Sure, that's why I think what she said about always, no matter what happened, just know that you can come back home is very important.
And I think it's back to that. So what I tell you is that obsession with control. So again, fear can lead us to, because we don't want our children to pass through the experiences we passed through growing up in, let's say, an evangelical background.
We don't want trauma to create a different flavor.
You can use all our, so that you're no church, you can say that there's no Nigerian church, for instance, that's good enough with theology, good enough for us. So therefore, our kids we are not doing that. So in your mind, you are doing what is good, given your understanding.
From one extreme to another extreme.
Yeah. So again, to be honest, I would again back to that dragon parenting is that I don't know how it's going to play out, but again, I would just trust God for today. Mm. You know, just trusting God for today, daily grace, the daily manna, bread to go through, and wisdom every day to navigate what life brings to.
So about trusting God for today is also trusting God in the person, as opposed to believing in your own efforts and control. Yes, this is just what you're doing. So it's like a grace that allows the person
to make their mistakes. Exactly. Because, like I said, if God did not trust Adam, or God did not trust God in Adam, God would not have put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil there. So to want to take away the possibility of him experiencing,
and then you create another demon.
Yeah, exactly. Or then Adam will not be Adam. Adam will be something else.
In physical terms, there's something my brother is talking about, like if you give someone money all the time and they don't really have to ever work for it, it might cripple their ability to even know how to work for money in the first place.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but like, children, for example, you never leave them on their own to learn to walk. They will never learn to walk.
Yeah.
If you carry them everywhere, they will just be paralyzed. That's probably a perfect example of what I'm trying to say. Mm. So in your mind, they are doing good for them, but it becomes something else.
I feel like sometimes love is not doing what you think looks like love.
Yes.
No, I think perhaps the knowledge of everything will end in God can give us the confidence to relax and trust. I mean, if we believe that at the end, you know, God will be all in all, we might as well not be so fixated and anxious
because fear comes in there also. Fear comes in there when you're trying to like control how this will be. You say your intention is love, your execution is fear and control.
Like, so yesterday in the podcast they're explaining how people that are addicted to drug or alcohol or something, and you've been helping them, like our disposition is just keep showing them love, but they're like, that is harmful to them. At some point, you have to draw a boundary so that when they recover, they will have something to come back to. Does that make sense? Because if you keep allowing them out of love, they may do something that will not push you to the wall, and there's no coming back from that. So when they recover and become sober, they can't come back. Does that make sense?
I don't know if I understand.
I'm sure I'm getting
it. It's like you've allowed them in the name of love, and they've
allowed them to keep coming
into your space, you're showing them love, giving them kindness, giving them money, allowing them to sleep on your chair.
Okay.
So you're kind of enabling them, and you now destroy your relationship. So that even if they come back, there's no relationship for them to come back to. If they become sober, everything I've already spoiled, they've already spoiled the relationship both of you have. So even if they come sober, they've already done something to you that there's dark space.
How did they do something to you to become sober?
Because
their spirit of addiction, if you keep allowing them and enabling them, they may destroy the relationship patapata. So if there's ever a time in life where they become sober, they can't even come back to you.
They don't want to come back.
They can't because the relationship has already disappeared. It has become maybe something very horrible, very terrible. You're not getting this gist. Oh my God.
So it's basically like saying that you kept on just forbearing, and then maybe one day you could not forbear again, and everything started.
Or maybe something now happened. Maybe your child
forbear, you can also
draw a boundary.
Be authentic with yourself and change it and say, I'm not taking this shit again. Okay. Get out.
It will look like wickedness, but it's actually love. And so that when they come back, they can actually come back to you and be like, oh, I'm sorry. Blah, blah,
so what are you talking about? Sorry that I interrupted. It reminds me of one other thing that is like very central to my theology in quotes. That's like oneness with God and oneness with others.
Yeah.
So seeing the other person as yourself also.
Yeah.
and then seeing yourself as one with God, seeing the other person as also one with God.
Like union rather than separation.
So even in that case of maybe like dealing with addiction and everything, why do you think that loving the person every time can destroy the relationship? But I think there's still that possibility, you know, God is of many possibilities. So that would not lead to destruction or destroying the relationship.
Yeah, I think we'll wrap it up here. Or what did
they? Yes.
Your Bella wants to say something.
No, I didn't. Okay, no, I don't say it.
So somebody, no, everything is love. I mean, love is everything.
Yeah, I mean, that's my theology right now. Love.
My repentance tomorrow.
Yeah, and become war.
In the post.
But now we are love. I'm a preacher of love. My Bella.
I'm a preacher of everything, and everything is still
war,
love.
Yeah, fight.
Sometimes you need war for love, so.
Okay. All right, now. Peace out.
Bye. Touch it.